Well, good morning. Glad to have all of you here. If you're visiting with us, we sure appreciate you coming and being a part of our worship service this morning. We encourage you to come back anytime. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will make this home your church home. Now, I want to start out by telling you a little story. Okay? And the little story is that one day, my wife and I were spending the night there at Harding University, and this was before both of us worked there. We were spending the night there at Harding University, and we decided, as we often did when we spent the night there, that we would just wander around the campus. We'd just take a little stroll around the campus. And this was about 10 o'clock at night, which was after my bedtime. But I agreed to go on this little stroll around campus. So we're strolling around campus, and we're walking around campus, and we're holding hands, and we're talking and everything. And we come up on the main central lawn of Harding University. Those of you that have been there know exactly where I'm talking. And as we come up on the lawn there, we notice that there are about 2,000 students, give or take. There's about 2,000 students that are out there sitting on the grass, and they're singing. And when they'd finish a song, they'd start another song. Somebody started. They didn't have a song leader. They didn't have somebody up there directing them. They were just sitting there on the lawn singing. And they sang the greatest command that we just sang just a minute ago. Now, 2,000 young voices. It was gorgeous. Amen. And Kathy and I sang along with them, and we sang in awe of what we saw, what we witnessed, and we had great joy in seeing that. Now, the reason I bring that up is this. Think about for just one second what it's going to be like when all of God's children have come home. Amen. And we're all sitting around singing that song to God, praising His name for an eternity. Folks, here on this earth, we get glimpses of joy. Just glimpses. We don't get full understanding of joy. But the joy we will receive in heaven is far beyond any understanding that we have today. That's why Paul said that I wish that I could go on and be with God. But he says, but I know that I have things I need to do here first. We're the same way. We have things that need to be done here first before we can go on and be with God and sing those songs of praise to Him with all of God's children. What a day of rejoicing that will be. I look so forward to it. Today I want to talk about joy. But I want to talk about it in a manner that we have those things that bring us joy. We have those things that bring us true joy. But on the same regard, we have those things that bring us detractors from true joy. And I want to spend some time talking about both those that bring us joy and those things that detract us from joy. Let's start out in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. These are some of my favorite verses. It says this. Notice how it starts out. The fruit of the Spirit. What does that tell you right from the beginning? The fruit of the Spirit is what brings us true joy. Without the fruit of the Spirit, we can have no joy. And I'm going to re-emphasize that here in just a minute. There is no joy that can come without the Spirit. It does not exist. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, these are the things that we should strive for. These are the things that bring us contentment. These are the things that bring us happiness. These are the things that bring us joy. But I say this in this manner, these are the things that bring us true joy. Because there are things of this world that bring us detraction from joy. Detraction from joy. Now, in dealing with those detractions from joy, I've got only one slide. Because it all comes down to one thing. Here it is. The world is a stumbling block for joy. It's real simple. It's the world. Many of us try to find, and I say it in that manner, many of us, and I can actually go a little further and probably say all of us, try to find joy within this world. And I want you to know that if that's how you're looking for joy, you'll never find it. I had a friend of mine that died when he was 42 because of alcoholism. He started way back in high school drinking. And he drank to the point of drunkenness. He couldn't stop. He would start drinking usually about 9 a.m. and he would stop drinking after he had passed out. He drank all day. And I want you to know about this individual because I love this guy. I truly did. I went to elementary school with him. I went to junior high with him. I went to high school with him. I went to college with him. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. This was an individual who I loved dearly. But he had a serious problem. Incredibly intelligent. Incredibly intelligent. Got an appointment to West Point and turned it down. And took a full ride instead to SMU for his master's degree. Folks, this was a man who had everything that this world could offer. He had a great job. He had a wonderful wife who was also incredibly intelligent. And he lost all of it due to alcoholism. And I tell you this story because he believed that as he was drinking, he was having fun. But what happens in the morning? You're sick, you're nauseated, you're not having fun anymore. And so what did he do? He drank again to get rid of his sickness and his nauseation. I don't even know if that's a word. But he continued to drink so that he could get rid of those feelings and start feeling good again, when in fact, it just made it worse and worse and worse. I'll never forget, there were many times I got a phone call. And the phone call was from our friends, and they would call me and they would say, "Steve, I gotta go get Tony." "Okay, where is he?" "We'd go get Tony. He can't drive. We got to get him." And there was one time that I remember very distinctly, he drove from Fayetteville down Old Highway 71, which at the time was the most dangerous highway in the nation, to Fort Smith, and he didn't remember making the drive. How scary is that? Not just for him, but for other people that were on the road. Folks, there have been many of us who have gone to drugs, to forget about things of the day, to forget about these things. And you know what? We forget about them for a short time and we think we're getting joy, but in fact, when it all wears off, your problems are still with you. Your problems have not left. You have not gotten rid of anything. The only thing that you have done is made yourself sick. There are people who say, "If I just had $1 million, it would take care of everything." No. And I tell you that no, because the percentages are incredible as to how many people win the lottery, and within 5 years, they're right back to where they were before they won the lottery. You ever watch some of those shows about the lottery winners? What do? They go out and spend a lot of money. Well, then all of a sudden they don't have any left. I knew a man, and I won't tell you his name, but I know him. Met him. Spent 12 years playing basketball in the NBA. 12 years in the NBA. He came home with a grand total of $5,000 in his pocket. Folks, I'm telling you these things because all those things can do, wealth, your job, alcohol, drugs, sex, you name it, all those things can do for you is kind of cover up what real joy is. The thing that causes us to lose joy are trying to find joy in this world. It does not exist. It will let you down every time. So therefore, where we are today is I want to look at what gives you true joy, what the causes are which give you true joy. And today, when you leave this audience today, I want you to be able to leave here saying, "I'm going to start doing at least one of these things because I want to find true joy." Amen. True joy. Here's number one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says this: "Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." How many of you rejoice in God? Do you realize what He's done for you? Do you realize the hope that we have in salvation, the hope of an eternity with Him in heaven? Do you realize that's because He so loved you? If you can't think of anything to be joyful about, Be joyful about the gifts that God gives you. Remember the McDonald's commercials? You deserve a break today. I'm going to tell you something. You don't deserve anything. You deserve punishment. You deserve condemnation. It's only because of God's grace that we have forgiveness. It's only because of God's grace that we have a place with Him in heaven. It's only because of God's grace that we know that we're going to stand around that throne and sing those songs of praise to God forever and ever. What joy can there be? So therefore, we must rejoice in the Lord, and we must rejoice in the Lord daily. Rejoice in the Lord every time you say a prayer. Remember, Jesus' example for prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it starts out with praising God, and it ends with praising God. Praise God every day. This is something you should do every single day, because this is true joy. Second, Acts chapter 8, verse 39 says this. When they came up out of the water, guess who I'm talking about? The eunuch, very good. Acts chapter 8. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. We need to rejoice in our salvation. When you came up out of the water, how'd you feel? Did you rejoice? I've told you this story before about this 90-year-old woman that I witnessed. I didn't baptize her. I witnessed this baptism. And she came up out of the water just clapping her hands and praising God. Yes. Some of you were baptized real recently. Aiden told me some things that were really cool. When you come up out of the water, you are rejoicing because you have salvation. What did the eunuch do? He rejoiced. Why? Because he had salvation. The thing in which he sought after by going to Jerusalem to praise God in all of God's majesty, he found what he was looking for. Because Philip told him, and he says, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He came up out of that water rejoicing because he found his salvation. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must be buried in that blood of Jesus Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life so that we can become like heirs with Christ. Praise God that He sent His Son so that we might have salvation. Look at this one also. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Our peace with God, our joy with God, surpasses all understanding. Folks, we can have peace. We can have joy, even in times of trial and tribulation. That's why it says right there that this surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, because the world cannot find joy in these things. When my mother passed away in 2020, there was sadness. but there was joy. Because I knew the type of person my mother was. And I knew that she had had a long and wonderful life, 94 years. And even though we miss her, we still miss her this day, we know where she is today. And therefore, I cannot be unhappy about where my mother is. And I know good and well that my mother and my father, by the way, who died at an age of 44 years old, I know that when my name is called, they're going to meet me at the gate. I could not be happier about that. They would not come back here, but they want me to come to where they are. Realize that. And so understand that this world cannot comprehend the joy that I feel about my parents being there, waiting for me. And that there will one day be a joyful reunion when we all come together in one place to sing those great praises to God. They can't understand that in this world, and that's why their joy in this world is fleeting. Only through Jesus Christ can we have perfect joy that lasts forever. So therefore, I can rejoice in knowing the peace which comes from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says this, that we today celebrate in the hope of salvation. Folks, do not get wrapped up in all the politics that's going to happen over the next 2 years. And I tell you that very plainly, because they're going to all talk about hope. They're all going to all talk about change. They're going to all talk about how much better things are going to be if you elect me. They're all going to say that. I'm going to tell you something. That ain't it. It's not going to happen that way. The only way we can rejoice in the hope is knowing what our hope truly is. Our hope rests in God. There is no other hope. There is no other salvation. There is no other way. So therefore, it must rest in God. We lost our screen up there. That was Romans 5, 2, in case you ask. Next one. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says this, and though you have not seen him, we have not seen God, we have not seen Jesus. We love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now this is important. We're studying the book of Revelation on Sunday nights. If you haven't been there, you need to come. It's been a good study. It's been something good that we've looked at. And right now we're studying literally those seven churches. But one of the things that's kind of interesting about that whole book in Revelation is this. And it's repeated throughout the book. The theme of the book. Remain faithful because we win in the end. This is the theme in the book. Our lives here on this earth is this: remain faithful because we have a reward in heaven. People of this world cannot have that. People of this world look at the things that happen to them as this world goes on, and all they can do is weep over the sorrows that they have here on this earth without looking at all at what comes next. Because what comes next is heaven. What comes next is joy everlasting. This is our joy. Our labor here on earth is worth every second. And understand this: the trials and tribulation that we have on this earth will not count for anything when we see Jesus face to face. Anything that happens here on this earth means nothing, because we have hope in heaven. Therefore, I can rejoice in knowing that whatever labors I do for God here on this earth will be rewarded in heaven. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Notice what it says: the fruits of the Spirit. Folks, how do we obtain the Spirit? One word. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What else is it? Forgiveness of sin. What else is it? Hope of salvation. What else is it? A place with God in heaven for an eternity. These are fruits of the Spirit. And the only way you can gain those fruits of the Spirit is to believe and be baptized. Without it, you cannot find real joy. This earth is a problem. Every day. Turn on the news. I don't care what news you watch. Doesn't make any difference. Turn on the news. What are you going to see? Hatred, division, murder, theft, trials, tribulation, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, train crashes, airplane crashes. One of the reasons I don't like to fly, I'm not afraid of flying, I'm afraid of crashing. But realize exactly what I'm telling you. Turn on any news channel, turn on your local news, turn on whatever you want to turn on, and all you're going to hear is bad things. Let me suggest something to you. Turn off the news and open up your Bibles and read the good news. Don't get wrapped up in all this, because this world will bring you down. Push it aside and realize the fruits of the Spirit is what we hope for today. Psalms 118, 24 says this: this is the day which the Lord has made. What does it say, the rest of it? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When you wake up in the morning, don't be like me and shove your alarm clock off onto the floor. I've got two big dogs. One of our big dogs loves to play with a ball. And she gets the ball and she'll squeeze it. And you hear her squeeze it. And then she'll drop it. And when she drops it, she tries to catch it with her paws. And she ends up kicking it under stuff. We got her a new ball about a week ago. Every morning, before I'm awake, she comes in squeezing her ball. And then she drops it and tries to catch it. And she kicks it. And guess where it goes? Under the bed. And this dog weighs close to 100 pounds. She cannot get under the bed. So what does she do? She wakes me up so that I will get under the bed and get the ball. And the problem is I do it. But also the problem is that at my age, when I get down on the floor, it is not an easy thing to get up. And so I get down there and I struggle real hard to get up, and I finally figured out a way to get up by leaning on the bed and pushing down on the bed and trying to grab hold of the sheets and pull them over so that I can. Folks, by the time I get back up on my feet, I'm up. And the dog loves it. So I'm telling you, don't be like me. Don't be one that really doesn't want to see the sun come up in the morning. Would much rather it come up about 10 o'clock. Don't be like that. Be like Psalms 118. You know why? Because God gives you an opportunity every single day. God gives you blessings every single day. And a lot of times all you have to do to see those blessings is open your eyes. How wonderful God is. I will rejoice in Him. I will rejoice in Him daily. Seek to rejoice in God. Seek to find true joy, which only comes through the love that God has for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have a need this morning, a need to be baptized and join the true joy that comes from knowing God, we want to give you that opportunity. We would also like to give you the opportunity that if you have a prayer request, that we might raise your name up and pray for you among this group. But if you have any need in which we could help you with, we ask you to come now while together we stand and sing.